So Matthew chapter 7 is, again, where we're going to be this morning. We've found our way to this chapter a few times. Turns out Jesus says some pretty significant things in this chapter. But Matthew chapter 7, which is where we were last week and where we're going to be again this week, to study one of those things that Jesus said that should impact us, should challenge us, should change us. Last week in Matthew 7, we were reminded that we need to avoid false truth at all costs. That false truth, false teachers, they can be destructive in our lives and they can ruin us if we listen to it, if we accept the message that we're hearing. False truth and its teachers are ferocious wolves, and they will devour us, devour the person who follows them. And that, if you remember that, you keep that tucked in the back of your mind, that will have a role in this morning's message. And so kind of keep it in the back of your mind that following that false truth, it is destructive and it will destroy people who are influenced by it. So last week I mentioned that one of the difficulties with false teachers or with false truth is that it looks good. It sounds good. It looks and sounds right. Sounds genuine, especially when we're talking about false truth in the Christian sphere of life. When it's someone who appears to be Christian or claims to be Christian, or maybe we hear it in the church, and it's even harder. It's even more deceptive, and it's harder for us to determine. But it's just as dangerous for us to follow. But it looks good. It sounds good. And the problem is that not everyone who looks like they're on the path of life, the path to eternal life, the path of a Christ following genuine believer, is on that path. Right? Not everyone who looks like they're on that road is on that road. The path of faith is a lot less popular, a lot less well-traveled than we would imagine it. And we would not want to follow someone who maybe looks like they're on the right path, but they're not. We would not want to follow that person or their truth that sounds good, looks good, but is false, because if we go too far down that path, it'll be ultimately destructive. So we talked a lot about that last week, how it's so important to consider the source and consider the truth that they're expressing, but also hold what they're saying up against the truth of the Bible. It's very important to be critical. So we're going to talk about that today, about how it's dangerous if we follow that path, even if it looks good, sounds good, seems good. And we're going to base this on Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7. This time we're going to be in verse 13. Verses 13 and 14 first, and then we'll go a few verses down. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus is telling his listeners, his audience, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So Jesus addresses here the most significant truth in life. With these words, Jesus addresses the most significant truth in life. The truth is at the end of this life, there are two destinations, destruction or eternal life. This is what Jesus is saying. The most significant truth in your lifetime is that at the end of your life, at the end of life, there are only two destinations. There is destruction or eternal life. The life you're living, the path that you're on, the road that you're traveling is not all there is. It can feel like that because it's all we've known, right? All we've known is the life we're traveling, the life we're living. But this life is just a small piece of what God designed and intended for his creation, designed and intended for you. God created humans and creation to exist for eternity, forever, starting with Adam and Eve. But the way with God, the way to God, the life with God, the way to God, that eternal life that God designed and created everything for, was closed by sin. That way, that path, the path of eternal life, was shut down, detoured by sin. Road closed. You're not on that road. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And Romans 5, verse 12, Paul says this. He says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man," that's Adam. Sin entered the world through Adam. "Death came through sin. Because of Adam's sin, death came. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned." Meaning, death is the inevitable end for every person. It is the detour that sin caused. The way to God was interrupted by sin, by Adam's sin, but then everybody's sin after that. The detour was made. The road was shut. The way to God was closed, and it set everybody down the road to destruction. At the end, because of sin, is death and destruction. Because the price of sin, the cost of a sinful soul, has to be death and separation from God. And when I say destruction, we've been using that word. When I say destruction, I don't mean that you'll cease to exist, that the end, after this life, after this road that you're on, that everybody is on, after that death, when I say destruction, I don't mean that it's the end, that you'll cease to exist. The Bible teaches that because everyone was created with a soul, that you were created to live forever, to exist forever, then the destruction awaiting for you is eternal ruin. It is not finality. It is eternal ruin. It is eternal punishment. It is eternal ongoing devastation because you're separated from the goodness of God. Because you are no longer enjoying the good grace of God, that even though this world isn't perfect, we still get little drips and little bits of it. We talked about this in Ecclesiastes, that God still inserts goodness into the seasons of life. We just have to find it and discover it, and sometimes we stumble into it and we enjoy it and we don't know it. But this destruction, this after death destruction, devastation, is because you will be separated forever to eternal ruin without the goodness of God. We call it hell. Because it is. It's devastating. And you were created to exist forever. And you will be separated from God because of the corruption of sin inside you. And Paul tells us that we are each storing up wrath for ourselves from God because of our sin. And the path of sin, the road that we are on when we are born, will always lead to this destruction. And this road, this journey, is one that you are on, that every single person is on from birth. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul explains this in very direct terms. As for you, read yourself in there. He's talking to you. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, meaning you messed up, you screwed up, you didn't do the right thing, and the right thing isn't in you. Your transgressions and sins, you were dead. You used to live in them when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Meaning you were born into that life, into that transgression and sin. All of us lived among them at one time, evidenced by the gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like everyone else, everyone in the world, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Every single person is born a dead man walking. It's the reality of the road that you're born onto. Paul calls us dead people walking, deserving wrath because of sin. Because of your transgressions, you mess up. And because of your sinfulness, the corruption inside you, thanks to Adam. But God is merciful, and God loves his creation despite sin. And when I say love, you know what I mean, right? He didn't have an affection for his creation. Biblical love is devotion. God was devoted to what he had made. He loved what he made. In his actions, he was devoted to what he created in us, what he made in you, the soul he gave you. And so at great cost to himself, God paid the price of sin by substituting Jesus' death for yours, because the end result of sin is your death. And after the death is your separation, your destruction, your eternal ruin, your eternal punishment. And so God paid the price of that sin that will cause your death by substituting Jesus' death for yours. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, John tells us that this is love. Not that we loved God. We weren't devoted to him in any way. We were transgressors and we were sinners. But he loved us. And the way he loved us was he sent his son as an atoning, covering, forgiving sacrifice for your sins. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that this is how God demonstrated love. God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, you didn't love God. Christ died for us, for your sin. He paid the price. He paid the penalty of your death. He took it on himself. In John chapter 3, verse 16, John writes that God loved the world in this way. This is how God loved the world. God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish. That word means be separated from God, but instead will have eternal life because of the sacrifice of Jesus. At great cost to himself, God paid the price of sin by substituting his son for you. And in doing this, God broke the detour. God opened through Jesus the way, the path, the road to life again. The road that men were supposed to be on, the road that was the original design, the path to God and with God for eternity, was shut down by sin. And by offering his son as a substitute for your sinfulness, God reopened the way, the path, the road to life again. And so at the end of this life, Jesus is saying the truth. There are two destinations. There are two roads. The two lead to two destinations, destruction or eternal life. And we all start on the road to destruction. We all start on the road to destruction. And Jesus says, find the narrow gate, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. Find the narrow gate. You're on the road. You're on the road to destruction. You're on a wide road, a broad road. Find, enter the narrow gate. Because on the other side of that narrow gate is a narrow road, and that is the road that leads to eternal life. And it is the only one. You have to find it. When I, about 12 years ago, I have told this story before. It is infamous. It is the best sermon illustration I have, and I go to it often. But about 12 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, three of my friends from college decided, and you've heard the story before, many of you, they decided that they wanted to have a little bit reunion camping trip. This is what they sold it to me as. We're going to have a camping trip, the four of us. We're going to go camping. And I said, okay, don't love camping, but we'll give it a shot. You know, I'm still young. I'm spry. Let's try it out. And then they said, we're going to do a camping trip on the Appalachian Trail. And I thought, that sounds harder than a camping trip. That's not a camping trip. That's more of a backpacking hike, right? And they told me, they said, no, we're going to pick a very easy portion of the Appalachian Trail. And we're only going to do 10 miles a day, 20 miles. We'll just do 2 days. Now, I can't remember the last time I walked a mile, let alone 10 miles, but I figured I'm just walking. It can't be that bad, right? We're going to walk. They said it was like beginner level Appalachian Trail, whatever that means. And we're going to do that 2 days. We're going to camp in the middle of the Appalachian Trail. And then we're going to finish it with 10 miles the next day. So I was not in shape, nearly as in shape as the rest of them. The end of the story is very sad end of the story. I did finish the trail, but I was like a mile behind the other three the entire way. They kept coming back to check on me to make sure I was still alive. And I think I've even said this. There was an individual, great respect for this individual. I was passed on the trail by an individual with one leg. That's how bad I was doing. It was humiliating. Great learning experience for me. But when we started the trip, I was, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, you know, ready to go, 60-pound pack on my back was not the warning sign it should have been that this is going to be difficult. When we started the trail, we were walking, and it was really, really easy. Really easy. And I was like, my confidence was going through the roof. I'm like, this is going to be a piece of cake. Because the trail, as it started, was following along a railroad cut. And so it was cleared, there was no brush, it was flat as can be, we're just pumping along. I'm like, this really is great for beginners, like this is no problem at all. And about 2 miles down the trail, one of my buddies goes, I don't think we're on the trail. I don't think this is the right one. Because we hadn't seen any blazes, any trail blazes, any markers, or anything like that. And we realized, to my horror, that we had been walking 2 miles down a railroad track for no reason. And so we walked 2 miles back to find where we missed the turnoff, and there, there in the woods, was the real Appalachian Trail, and it was not fun. And it went straight up the hill. Like, I was enjoying it. I'm like, this is good, we're good. I did 4 miles of easy walking, only to be horrified that the first 100 yards of this trail was almost straight up the hill, followed by another 20 miles of moving from boulder to boulder, up steep trails, down steep trails. There was a very easy path that I could have done for a very, very long time, and then there was the right path, and it was very, very difficult. And this is what Jesus is describing. This is what Jesus is describing. There's two ways. There's a right way and a wrong way. The wrong way is very easy. It's very easy, and you're gonna feel great about it. You're gonna feel real confident in yourself. The right way is much more difficult. It is much harder, but it is still the right way. And so here is a profound but unpopular reality that Jesus is teaching. There is only one gate. There's only one road to eternal life, and you don't start on it. There is only one road to eternal life, and you do not start on it. We didn't start on the Appalachian Trail. I thought we did, and we kept walking, and we were wrong. There is only one Appalachian Trail, and we didn't start on it. We had to find it so we could hike it. There are not many roads to heaven. There is one. There is one. And this is not a popular truth today. Today, people want to be able to live their truth, to believe their truth. They want to be able to find their own way. They want to live their own life and still find their happy ending in heaven. They want to believe what they want to believe, live how they want to live, and still somehow find that happy ending, find that eternal life, that heaven. But that's the broad road, right? That's the road you start on. It's real easy. Believing whatever you want, living however you want. But you start on the wrong road. You start on the wrong road. You're heading for destruction, and you're creating your own truth, or being good enough, or living your own way is not going to get you that happy ending. At some point, you've got to turn and take the true road, the right path. You can head down that wrong road as long as you want, but it won't end where you think it's going to end. It will end in destruction. At some point, you have to enter through the narrow gate. At some point, you have to find the true and the right road, because you start on the wrong road. We are heading for destruction from the beginning, and creating your own truth, being good enough, or living your own way is not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get you that happy ending. It's not what the Bible teaches, and it's not how it works. There is one way to heaven. There is one way to eternal life, and it is through a belief in the Holy Creator God, who cannot accept your sinfulness, and a faith in Jesus' death and resurrection to pay that debt of sinfulness on your behalf. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one goes to the Father except through me." Peter tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and he's talking about Jesus when he says the word name, that salvation from sin, from sinfulness, from destruction, from eternal ruin, from punishment for sin, from separation for God. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It is Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God, the Father, to heaven. There's no other way to be saved from your coming destruction. There are only two roads, and only one of them leads to heaven. And only one of them leads to salvation, leads to forgiveness from sin, leads to eternal life. No other road leads there. Whatever you believe, if it is not that Jesus is your salvation, you're wrong. No other road leads to heaven, leads to eternal life. And this is a hard truth. It is an unpopular reality, and it is offensive, because I'm telling you, you're wrong. Because Jesus is telling you, you're wrong. If you're not believing, He is the only way. His salvation is the only one. It is an unpopular truth, but it is the one that Jesus is clearly stating. If you seek life, if you seek eternity in heaven, you have to enter through the narrow gate. It's the only way. It is the only way. And you are not on it. You have to choose. You have to take the plunge. You have to choose to get off the road. The narrow gate is only opened by belief in God and sin and faith in Jesus' death for your forgiveness and salvation. So the first thing that we see here, the first unpopular reality, but the first truth that we see here that Jesus is teaching, is there is only one gate, and you don't start on it. There's only one road to eternal life. You don't start on it. You have to choose the true road. The second thing that we see here is that because it is narrow, Jesus calls it a narrow road, a narrow gate. It's a small gate, and only a few find it. But that's the one that we have to choose to enter through, is that because it is narrow, far less people choose the road to life over the road to destruction. Because you're already on the road to destruction, few people choose the road to life. And because it is narrow, far less people choose that road over the road to destruction, the broad road, the wide road. God opened up the way to life when sin detoured humanity onto the way to destruction. But the gate, the door, is narrow, and the path is narrow, and it is not as appealing, it is not as inviting as the broad way, as the wide way, as the way that you are already on. It's not as appealing. It's not as inviting. The road that we all start on is high capacity. There's a strong desire in me to quote AC/DC. It is a highway to hell. There are a lot of people. It is a high-capacity road. It is popular. It is easy. Right? There is company. There are plenty of people walking that road, living that life, living their truth, living what they want to believe, encouraging you to live your truth, whatever you want to believe, and convinced that there is a happy ending over the horizon for them. It is a popular road. It is a busy road. There are large volumes of traffic on the road to destruction, and it is not a hard gate to enter. It is not a hard road to get on. It's not a hard road to stay on. You start on it, and it's really easy to stay on it. The wide road of life has room for all types of belief. The wide road for life has room for all types of lifestyles, all truths that people want to live and claim. You can claim it. You can find your HOV lane, and you can just go. The wide road leaves plenty of room for your baggage of sin. You won't even notice your baggage of sin. Everyone else has it. You'll just be like everybody else, carrying sin with you, living your lifestyle, living what you want to believe, going that direction. You feel good about it because there's plenty of people with me on this. They agree with me. They support me. They want me to do this. We're going. This road in life is accepting. This road is inviting. This road of being yourself, of living your way, embracing your truth, is the natural leaning of our hearts. We want to be accepted. We want to live what we want to live. We want to believe what we want to believe. We don't want to be told that we're wrong. We don't want our flaws pointed out. We don't want those things. It's offensive when people do that. And this is an accepting road. It's easy to live on it. The truth is, though, that the wide road, the broad gate, does nothing to deal with your sin, does nothing to address it. Instead, that road of life accepts it as normal, accepts your sin as normal. It embraces your sin as who you are. You were born that way, so just live that way. That is the lifestyle of the broad way, of the broad road. The problem is, Jesus says, that road leads to destruction, and it's the one you start on. It is appealing to be told, never told, that you're wrong, that there is something fundamentally wrong with you. It's nice to not have to hear that. That sin is a fundamental problem inside you, and it corrupts you, and it makes your thoughts wrong. It makes your beliefs wrong. It makes your actions wrong. It's nice to not be told that. It's nice to be able to live out life however you desire, whatever feels right, and to convince yourself or believe that regardless of what you do, a loving God couldn't possibly send you to hell. You're already on the road, and it's just over the horizon. But it's easy to believe in your bliss. A loving God couldn't possibly send me to hell. It is your sin that is sending you to hell. That's your truth, not his. That is a wide road, and we are all born on that road, and many, according to Jesus, enter the gate to that road. They are on it, and they never leave it to their destruction. Verse 13, wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it and never leave it. Far less people choose the narrow gate, which leads to the road of life. Far less people choose the road to life over the road to destruction. Why? Why? Why do people not choose that gate? Why do people not choose that narrow road? On the other side of it, at the end of that road, the Bible is clear. Is the destination that we all want, the destination that we all crave. Heaven, eternal life, is on the other side of that narrow gate, is on the other end in the distance of that narrow road. So why do far less people choose the narrow road than the broad road? Why do they not go through the narrow gate? Entrance is not nearly that easy. It's not nearly as easy to enter that road. There is no room for your baggage of sin. There is no room for your pride, no room for your self-indulgence, no room for your truth to squeeze through that gate. This gate is narrow, and it must be squeezed through, and the only thing that can fit through the narrow gate with you onto the road of life is faith. I don't know if you've close to here in Panama, New York, is Panama Rocks. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. But it's these large, large rock formations with crevices and very, very tall. Like you can climb around them, climb through them, climb under them, cave system, all that stuff. But there are certain parts of it that only the skinny can survive. Right, where you think, I'm going to go down and explore, I'm going to explore down into this crevice, and you keep walking and walking, it gets more narrow and narrow. And in fact, I think there's one, it's called Fat Man's Nightmare or something like that, where you can't fit through it. Like only little kids can go through this thing, and to do it, you've got to get real small and squeeze through there, right? And I can't, I'm not even going to try. Not because of my self-esteem, but because I am terrified of getting stuck. Right? I don't want to get stuck in there and then have to have somebody come chisel me out of this crevice, right? That would be humiliating, right? And they'd be like, why did you think? I don't know. I don't know why I thought, but I wasn't, so that's why I went in there. This gate is narrow to heaven. You can't take anything with you through it. You can't take any baggage through this gate. The gate to the road of life, you can only squeeze through with your faith. Your accept me because I was born this way, not going to fit through that gate. Your I only want to believe in God who loves me just the way I am, will not fit through that gate. Your I want heaven but also be able to do whatever feels right now, will not fit through that gate. That gate is not big enough for your baggage of sinfulness and your truths and your indulgences. They must be left behind if you're going to get through that gate. If you're going to start on the narrow path to life. The narrow gate is only big enough for you and your faith that you are a sinner, and the only truth is God's truth. And the only way to address your sin, your only hope for eternal life is Jesus' death. There's only room for that faith. The gate to the road that leads to heaven can fit nothing else. And that is why far less people choose the narrow gate and the narrow road, because they stand there and they look at that and think, but I want to take this with me. I want my truth too. I want my lifestyle also. I want affirmation and who I feel I was born. And the problem is, you've got to leave that. You've got to leave it to get through this gate. The only thing you can take is your faith that you're a sinner and God has the truth and Jesus is the way. On the other side of that gate, where we have to take only our faith and leave behind our sinfulness and pride and desires, is a tough road. Sometimes you can get a glimpse of it and you look through the other side and you see a very, very tough, difficult road for people who have faith. It isn't broad. It doesn't look easy. It's not as accepting. The path isn't smooth. There isn't as much acceptance and company. It's like me looking up that hill on the Appalachian Trail going, oh, this is going to be really difficult, but this is the right way. This is the only way. The narrow road is on the other side of that gate is characterized by crucifying the flesh. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus, those who have squeezed through that gate with their faith in him, those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, are crucifying the flesh. And this is where we spot the residue of our sin nature. We see it in us. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, we battle it and we leave it behind. And the narrow road, the shoulders of the narrow road is littered with the sinfulness that people have chosen to leave behind because they are crucifying the flesh. But it is difficult. It is hard. It's a willingness to admit, I'm wrong often, and this has no business in my life. The narrow road on the other side of that gate is characterized by living by faith. It's not easy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul puts it very simply, if we have squeezed through that narrow gate, we live by faith, not by sight. It's by faith. It's the only thing you took with you. And we live by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we can't see. Sometimes we don't know what's coming ahead, but we know what God has declared to be true. And so we commit ourselves to continue walking by faith because we believe in God. And so we believe God. We trust God. That is the characteristic of walking the narrow way. We don't know what's ahead, but we trust God. We don't always see the end or the resolution, but we believe in God, and so we believe God. The narrow road is characterized by walking by faith. Sometimes you can't even see, but that's the road to life. It's characterized by enduring trials and obstacles in life that are brought on because we believe in God's truth, and because we believe in God's truth, things get difficult. We've rejected sin, and because we've rejected sin, things get difficult. Tough, because we still live in a sinful, fallen world. We still live with sinful, fallen people. And so it is a life that is characterized by trials and obstacles and difficulties and tensions. Romans chapter 5, Paul tells his audience, tells us in verses 1 to 4 that, so we have been justified through faith. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, in which we are now walking. We boast then in the hope of the glory of God that at the end of this road is salvation. But right now, we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering because of faith, because of God's truth, produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope that again, at the end of this narrow road that we have chosen by faith to walk, is eternity, is life. The narrow road is characterized by crucifying the flesh, by living by faith, by enduring trials and difficulties. But it is the only road that leads to heaven. And it can only be entered by a gate that only has enough room for your faith and nothing else. Not your good works, not your truth. This is the most significant truth of your life. You are either on the broad road where you started, like many others, heading to destruction, but enjoying your truth, enjoying your acceptance, enjoying your pleasures, or you are on the narrow road you have chosen by faith in God and Jesus to be on the narrow road, one of the far fewer living the rewarding life of faith, being restored into the image that God intended for you and heading to eternal life in heaven. This is the most important truth of your life. You're on the broad road or you're on the narrow road. There are no others. There is no other path. Some of you this morning are on the wrong road. You've never chosen, never placed your faith in God and in Jesus' salvation to walk that narrow path to eternal life. Today is your chance to make the choice to give your faith to God and His Son Jesus and His death to pay that punishment for you and begin walking that road to life. I encourage you, if that is you, if you can't reflect and find a moment where you've made the choice for eternal life, made the choice for the narrow road in faith, take the next 5 minutes, quiet your mind, tune me out for a few minutes, and make that right with God. Talk to Him about it, and then find Pastor Jerry or find me after the service, and we will help you make sure you have squeezed through that narrow gate. Now, the rest of you, I want you to listen closely. If you've been tuning out because this sounds pretty familiar to you, I want you to listen a little more closely because this is a really big deal. This is the last thing that we see here from Jesus. So He says again in verse 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate. You have to, because wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through that, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now look down at verse 21. Now not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, or Jesus, you're my Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day at the end of the road, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we declare your truth and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Or paraphrase, you're on the wrong road. You're still on the broad road. You weren't on the narrow road. You didn't go through that narrow gate. You thought you were, but you were walking the broad road. So this is a big deal. The last thing that we see here from Jesus is that the broad road and those on it are good at imitating life on the narrow road. The broad road and people on the broad road are very good at imitating life on the narrow road, and some think that they chose the narrow gate, but they didn't. It's very important that we hear this. Some think they chose the narrow gate, but they didn't. And it's very easy to imitate life on the narrow road, but still be on the broad road. Again, He says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many, verse 22, will say to me on that day, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we claim truth in your name? Didn't we live in a way that we gave credit to you for the things that we were doing? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? Didn't we perform miracles in your name? And I'm going to have to tell those people who think they're on the narrow road but are actually living on the broad road, I didn't know you though. You didn't give me your faith. There was no relationship. We didn't share the Holy Spirit. And some think they chose the narrow gate, but they didn't. Last week we talked about false teachers, about false truth and how destructive it is, how it will ruin us, but that it can look good, it can sound right. And here Jesus says there will be many who thought they were on the narrow path, that thought they had entered the narrow gate, but they didn't. They were following a false truth. And they say, but Jesus, didn't we claim truth in your name? Didn't we speak truth in your name? Didn't we do lots of things and give you the credit for the things that we were doing? And His response is, we didn't know each other. There was no relationship there. That was your truth, not mine. You just put my name on it. You just said it was mine. You never entered through the narrow gate. Life on the broad road can easily imitate life on the narrow road. It can sound right. It can look good. It can seem religious, but it's still the broad road, and it is and false truths of the broad road. And even if they come from within the church, it is still destructive, it is still ruinous, and it is still the broad road, and over the horizon is still destruction, no matter how good it sounds. And there are less people, according to Jesus, there are less people on the narrow road than it appears. Plenty think they chose the narrow gate, but it wasn't. It was a broad gate somewhere along the wide road they thought was the narrow gate, and it wasn't. Sometimes we'll take the kids on a trip or on a drive, like when we go to Bethany Camp, it's only an hour away, but Amelia, she's 4, she has no patience for trips, and so she just wants to be there, right? Are we there yet? And so we try to give her little benchmarks along the way so she knows we're not quite there yet. And one of the benchmarks on the way to Bethany Camp, you have to go over Chautauqua Lake. Chautauqua Lake has a pretty large bridge that you drive over, and so we say, once we drive over the large bridge, we're getting pretty close. We're going to be pretty close once we drive over the large bridge. Just keep looking for the large bridge. And from that moment on, every tiny bridge we drive over, she goes, was that the one? Was that the big bridge? It felt kind of big. It felt a little bit bigger, right? Maybe that was the one. And each time I say, no, you'll know the big bridge when we cross it. It's big. It's recognizable. It's unmistakable. You'll know when you cross the big bridge. You'll know when you enter through the narrow gate. You'll know for sure. There are many broad gates along the broad way that can be deceptive and make you think, was that the one? Was that the one? But you will know the narrow gate. It is unmistakable. How do we know? How do we know the difference? The narrow gate leads to doing the will of the Father, Jesus says in verse 21. The ones who enter the kingdom of heaven, the ones on the narrow road, the ones who have squeezed through the narrow gate of faith, verse 21, only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven is the one on that path, on that road. You cannot squeeze through the narrow gate with your sin baggage. It must be left behind. And the result is, on the other side of the narrow gate, is a faith-based life devoted to living the will of God, devoted to living the desires of God, devoted to the truth of God. If you are on the path of life in your mind, if you made a profession of faith, but you are still accepting your sin, if you are still rejecting truths in the Bible, if your life does not match with the will of God, if your desire is not to submit to the authority of God, regardless of what he's pressing into you, then I don't know what gate you thought you walked through, but it wasn't the narrow gate. If you are still living in your sin, if you are still accepting your sin, if you're still finding your truth, if you're still trying to live however you want to live, you didn't go through the narrow gate. Because the narrow gate only accepts your faith, and you have to leave your baggage behind it. You'll know when it happens. Because on the other side, your desire will be to submit to the will of God, to live under the authority of God, regardless of how much it offends you, regardless of what needs to change in your life, regardless of how it looks different from the people around you. You will accept the truth of the Bible. Genuine faith repents of sin, turns its back on sin, and wants nothing to do with sin moving forward, because it is that sin that offended God, and it is that sin that crucified Jesus, and I want nothing to do with it. And genuine faith sees it for what it is and left it behind. This doesn't mean that you're sinless. It doesn't mean that your sin is gone on the other side of that gate, but it does mean that those on the other side of the narrow gate are crucifying their flesh. And they're finding it and they're saying, this is what crucified my Jesus. I don't want it anymore. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to believe that way anymore. That any time they discover the residue of sin, they deal with it. They know this can't be here. And then they confess it to God. They bring it to him because he is faithful and just to forgive us and will cleanse us of that sin. Those on the other side of the narrow gate on the path to life not only believe in God, but they believe God, they trust him and his truth regardless of the cost. They don't manipulate his truth to match how they feel. They change and they adjust to reflect his will in their life, even if it hurts, even if it's hard. They live by their faith in their God. And if you find yourself trying to manipulate his truth, trying to change what the Bible says or ignoring it or avoiding it, is he your God or not? It doesn't mean that you don't doubt sometimes. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle, but it does mean that when we find it difficult, we press into that and beg God for more faith, where we see, I'm having a really hard time, there's a struggle on this path, and I'm doubting a little bit. We press into that unbelief and say, God, give me more belief, because yours is the only truth. Yours is the only way, and I'm convinced of it. It's the only way that we know now. That's the way of life. Walk by faith. So what about you? Have you passed through the narrow gate and off the broad road? Have you passed through the narrow gate and gotten off the broad road? Many of you have said, Lord, Lord, you've made a profession of faith. Now look at your life. Look at your life. Are you claiming your truth in his name? or manipulating God's truth to match yours, or only accepting His when it's easy and convenient to do, that's the broad way. Narrow gate doesn't admit unrepentance, doesn't admit acceptable sins. Are you accepting your sin but claiming His name? Acknowledging your general sinfulness but refusing to address and deal with any of your actual sins? That's the broad way, and it's leading to destruction. Or have you really squeezed through that gate with only your faith and your confession of God and His salvation through Jesus? You've turned your back on the broad way, the way of sin, and your life is characterized by continued efforts to crucify your flesh, to live under the authority of God, and not only believe in God, but believe God and His truth, regardless of what it means in life. That's the narrow way, and only a few find it. If you have found it, and you're walking along it, keep going. Keep going, because it is the only one. It is the way, and I promise you, at the end of that road is what you're looking for. The only way I was able to finish that trip with my friends was through their encouragement, because it was tough. It was hard, and I didn't want to keep going. And they kept coming back and saying, just a little bit more, just a little bit more. The end is just on the other side. The narrow way is not easy. And the intent this morning is not to scare you. If your faith is genuine and real, and if you have squeezed through that narrow way, the encouragement is, you are one of the few. Keep going. On the other side of that hill is hope, is heaven, is God. Don't stop. And if you haven't made that choice, go through the narrow gate. Choose today, because your life may seem easy, but the other side of that horizon, destruction, and the end of any grace God has given you in your life. Find the narrow gate, enter through it, because it is the road that leads to life, and it is the only. You pray with me.